I want to read some scripture just for a little while today. And I don't know how our time is running. It's running just fine. And we take the time to worship. We never want to encroach on that. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. Very, very familiar. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son. Now here's the name, not the title, but the name. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. I want to stop here for just a minute. The name Jesus was a common name in that day. It was like Tom, you know, it was like Bob. It was common because of Joshua, who led the children of Israel as a warrior king, mighty warrior king, a savior. Literally is what it meant. Joshua is a derivative of Yeshua, meaning savior. There were a lot of Jesuses. In fact, I had my car worked on one time, and I knew he fixed it good, because when he signed it, he was, you know, of Latin American, obviously, or a Mexican background, and he signed it J-E-S-U-S. And I showed my wife the bill when I got home. I said, he did me right. Jesus. It was common name. Jesus. Common name. But what took the name and made it difference was when the title was attached to the name. When the Messiah, when the Christ, the anointed one, having to do specifically with the Messiah, when that was attached to the name, and when Lord Adonai was attached to the name, the Lord Jesus Christ, no one but our Savior, no one but our God incarnate could carry that name and those titles. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Deliverer. Savior is what it means. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt bring forth, she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name. Now we're getting a title given him, Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That changed everything. You can call a lot of babies in that day Yesu, Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, but you can't call him Emmanuel. You can't say anyone, any child born, no matter how pure, how holy, how wonderful, is God incarnate, God in flesh. But Jesus shall be called, his name given by his mother shall be Jesus and his father. But his name represents who he is. Names were more than just cute things. You can go to a book of names and find a name that's supposed to fit the personality of someone. In the Old Testament, the names fit personalities and characters. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Sikinu, Jehovah Shalom. And all of it is the character of God expressed in various ways to them and revealed to them in the Old Testament. When it said Emmanuel, it meant God with us. God with us. Listen, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Say that with me. God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. His name, Jesus. But this Jesus was God in the flesh, God with us. Emmanuel is a characterization, amen, it tells us about who he was. Jesus was his name, and Emmanuel was more of a title given him to tell us who he was. Now, there's a lot of worship of false gods in the world. Let me tell you how the heathen, according to the history of their belief systems, all of these man-made gods, the heathen view of God's presence, if they believe in a God, they sure don't see him like our God. They see their gods very differently. The heathen believe there are many gods. That's called polytheism. But none of them dwells with mankind. They live up there somewhere, far away from human habitation. According to the heathen, the gods are mighty, but they are distant. They do not live with mankind. Therefore, they don't relate to mankind in any personal way. You must go to them, but they will not come to you. A well-known saying is, even the mountain must go to Muhammad. In the Bible, we read the testimony of the sages of ancient Babylon, and this is what they say. Listen to it in Daniel 2:10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, no ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. The gods we serve, they will not come down. They will not help. They will not reveal. They're somewhere out there, somewhere up there. But they certainly aren't here with us. The New International puts it this way, and I don't study from the NIV. I got a couple of issues. I forget what they were, but it doesn't matter. It matters, but, you know, it don't matter right now. No one can reveal it to the king. But I like this. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. But Daniel's God did. Listen carefully. The Christian's view of God's presence is different. The name Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Not just for us, but with us. Yeshua, Jesus, Emmanuel is the Almighty God in human flesh. The Lord God incarnate in flesh. That is Jehovah in human form. His presence is promised in the Word of God. And I've got a load of scriptures that I'm not going to take time to read about how he manifests his presence in the Old Testament, in the old economy. He was with them in the wilderness, but he was not with them in the way that Christ is with us in the New Covenant. God was with them every step of the way through the wilderness. Amen. When they tried to get a prophet to prophesy against the children of Israel so that a king with an alien army wanting to destroy them, he said, I can't beat them. There's something wrong that I cannot defeat them. He tried to hire a prophet to falsely prophesy against them. And he said every time, and he tried to do it because he wanted, there are people that'll sell out. There are people that will sell out for silver and gold. We're seeing that occur today in ministers and ministries and denominations. Not just silver and gold, but to get the praise of men because they love the praise of men rather than the praise of God. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes when they answer to God for all of this. There's a day coming when they will answer, when I will answer, when you will answer to God. And particularly those that teach and preach the Word of God. The presence of God was with them. And as long as His presence was with them, They couldn't be defeated. So the prophet tried to prophesy against them, and he said, when I opened my mouth, only blessing. I tried to curse them so God would curse them, but I couldn't. Every time I tried to curse them, only blessing would come out. You can't curse what God has blessed. When I was preaching in Haiti, and there came this looked like a parade going by, led by voodoo priest. And we had to stop. I had to stop preaching. We had probably 200 or 300 people in a brush arbor type meeting, and everything stopped because of the distraction of it. And I thought, I asked Francois Fenelon. He was my interpreter. I said, Francois, what does this mean? He said, well, they are on their way. Down the road, about a half a mile, is a voodoo cemetery. And those are voodoo priests. And they were drumming and everything. And he said, they are going down there, and they were carrying something that looked like a miniature totem pole, something carved. Said they are going to erect that because of you and me and us sharing the gospel. They're going down to that cemetery to call on evil spirits to, you know, hurt us, harm us, and already they were distracting us. And I thought of that scripture, you can't curse what God has blessed. If you're going to dig one ditch, one songwriter said, you better dig two. For one of those ditches is going to be for you. Can you say amen? You can't. Fear is what they're trying to plant in you. Their gods are no gods, but there is a devil and there are evil spirits. Did they have any effect? Absolutely not. Amen. I was able to preach about that. As soon as that got by, I said, look how scared these spirits are, and the devil is, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we had church right after that distraction, because we presented Jesus, God with us. We're not here because of some auspices of a denomination or organization backing us. We're here because we're called of God to preach the gospel, and we're here. God is with us. I love how he told the disciples, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And lo, don't forget, I am with you always. You're not going out here and face all the blowback that you're going to get, all of the opposition, all of the devil's hatred and ire. It's going to be released against you when you carry the gospel. Don't worry about it and don't sweat it. Why? Because I am with you always. When the prophet could not prophesy against them, only blessing would come out. He came back and he said, I can't curse what God has blessed. I can't do it. When my wife went to Jamaica, they had the first thing that happened, the voodoo priest got people together, and they came and he came by himself and began to do all kinds of incantations. And of course the missionary, used to it, said, don't pay him no mind. You know, he can't hurt us. Now there's a lot of Christians that pay him mind big time, that live in this kind of seesaw type of thing. I know God's in control, but that devil over there, he's powerful. Yes, he's powerful. But God is with us. And God is for us. And there's the drop mic that it's in the car. Or I'd bring it and drop it today. What more shall we say to these things? Don't ever get in an argument with the devil over this kind of stuff. Let the word of God speak and let it be final. What more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? It didn't say people won't come against you. I love the book of Isaiah because it says, no, O thou tossed with tempest and not comforted, surely they shall come against you, but not by me. I created the smith that makes that weapon that's going to be used. I created the smith that creates the weapon in the fire. And I created the warrior that is going to wield the weapon that's going to be tried to be used against you. In other words, I have ultimate control. Not the devil, not those who want to hurt you. Why did God allow that preacher to be shot in the head and killed? I don't know. But I know this. I know God is still in control. There were martyrs in that day. There will be martyrs in this day. There are martyrs in this day. God never stopped allowing people to give their life for the sake of the gospel. I'm sorry to say that. We're in a shallow Christian era. Someone who came from persecuted areas that were under heavy persecution came to America, and they were disappointed in the worship service. They didn't see the devotion. They didn't see the appreciation. They didn't feel the camaraderie of others who were as devoted as they are, willing to put their life on the line just to be here or somewhere in a congregation worshiping God. They didn't necessarily appreciate their freedom. I'll tell you, on Nat's eyebrow of 12, most people are already looking at their watch. And they don't dare want you to go past that, because we want to go and do something that's fun and fulfilling. It's my only day off. I've heard that until I just sick of hearing it. I never say anything back. I just think, there we are. There we are. That's our brand of Christianity. I'm a Christian as long as it doesn't encroach on my time, my fulfillment, my rest, my sleep, my anything. And yet, Christians of that era and in other places in the world in this era are literally putting their life and liberty on the line just to identify with Jesus Christ. They don't even have to be preaching. All they have to do is identify as a Christian, and that puts them in the jeopardy. We are not in that condition, but we need that kind of devotion. How many can agree that we're not in that condition, but we desperately need that kind of devotion? Churches are scrambling now to find enough entertainment to try to get people to, I'm talking about Christians now, to get Christians in church to celebrate Christmas. What can we do? What else can we do to entertain them enough to get them to take the time to show up? Now, we're not going to entertain. We're going to worship. And if you're really a Christian and you love the Lord, worship is very entertaining to me, because I am able to enter in through worship into the presence of my God and my King. And that's what I expect to do next Sunday. Praise God. And we're going to have fellowship. That's not just about entertainment. That's about loving one another and praying for one another and sharing whatever we share before we go home, and we can keep the time frame a little bit better that way. But we're not in the entertainment business. We're in the instruction in righteousness business. Praise God. And I want this Christmas not to be encroached upon. Like I say, I hear Christian artists singing Jingle Bells. I hear secular artists singing Oh Holy Night. And I'm still going back and forth trying to find a Christian song on the Christian station, and having to go to a secular station. I'm just going across the dial, actually Sirius XM, and I find, oh, that's good. I don't know who's singing it right now. I'm glad I don't know who's singing it, because they're singing it reverently and the words are right, and this is making me want to give glory and honor to my King. Why can't we defeat them? Why can't we defeat them? This is how God was with Israel in the Old Testament. Why can't we defeat them on the battlefield? He said, number one, they are committed to serving their God. They're right with their God. And because of that, and besides that, the shout of a king is among them. Can you say amen? So the king said, then what can we do? You can't curse them because God has blessed them. You can't curse them. There may be someone in Haiti that's sticking little pins in a caricature of me. Just filling it full of pins. Give him a backache. Give him a toothache. Give him a heartache. Give him a headache. Go ahead and get that big toe while you're at it. Let's really mess him up. You know, we're laughing, but there's a lot of Christians. If they know some witch doctor, voodoo priest is doing some juju, bad juju against them, they get under this heavy cloud. I know someone who was sick most of their entire life, who lost the victory, who died what I would consider prematurely. If you die before me, it's premature in my opinion. Anyway, went to a Bible school, was certified in Word of Faith ministry, got all the faith in the world. If you go to Word of Faith, you've got all the faith in the world. If you buy into that, you got all the faith. You shouldn't even have to ask me to pray for you because you got all the faith. And I'm being facetious and I'm being what I ought not be. There's a lot of good, but not enough of it to override the rest of it. So I just say stay away from it now because it's off the rails. It is completely off the rails. And I know good people that got involved in it. But see, here's the problem. The man's wife said, I believe the sickness that was never healed and was chronic came because near our church, there was a spiritualist church, and I believe they put a curse on us. And I was thinking of that scripture. You can't curse what God has blessed. You can't do that. The devil doesn't have that authority. Even a prophet that sold out, he tried to do it. He said, I curse them so God will not bless them to win these battles. And he said, every time I open my mouth to curse them, only blessing will come out. And I thought, what did you learn? I agree with the preacher. He said, I went to a church and they had a big jumbo screen. Wouldn't it be great if we had a jumbo screen? Amen. This whole thing, just a jumbo screen, and said it counted down to a 5-minute count. There's nothing wrong with this in itself. 5-minute countdown. And then it got 2 minutes, 1 minute. Then it got down to 10 seconds. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then coming out of the wings and behind the curtain, here comes the song leader out. He comes bounding out and say, how y'all doing? Evidently this preacher wasn't Pentecostal or nothing near it because it got his goat. I like enthusiasm, don't get me wrong. But I don't like trying to stimulate just emotion instead of instructing in the Word of God. He said, and I thought, how am I doing? He said, I'm doing awful. I'm doing rotten. That's how I'm doing. Now, he's just, saying his frustrations. He said, because everybody's going to jump up. And everybody's going to have a real good time jumping around and clapping their hands. There's nothing wrong with that. I think we ought to have an enthusiastic praise service. I ran around the building one day. I shouted up here and danced before. I don't know what he would think of that. But I get what he's saying. I'm doing awful. He went to church because somebody invited him. He's out of town at a speaking engagement. He said, I got up this morning, I spilled coffee on my white shirt. I had to go change my white shirt. I went out and I had a ticket on my car because I'd parked in some place I wasn't supposed to park because I'm new and I didn't know where to park. He said, I just got a phone call back home at my church, and there's something wrong in somebody, and they wanted me to hurry back so I could take care of that problem, and that's on me. And then he told about four or five other things that went wrong that morning. And he said, I'm rotten. That's how I am. I'm feeling really bad. I'm really down. What do you got for me? What do you have for me? You see, if we just get people for a little emotional high, for a little while, just like a sugar high, I tell you, you can eat a brownie instead of a sandwich, turkey sandwich, and that brownie will get you going. Believe me, a brownie will get you going. If you drink coffee with it, it'll give you a double buzz. Amen. And I like coffee with my sweets. It'll get you going, but Mike, it'll drop you. It'll drop you, and when it drops you, and you, here's a Pentecostal flaw, and I'm Pentecostal. I had a guy come to church, he said, I got my double barrel shotgun loaded with Holy Ghost buckshot, and I'm gonna let the devil have it with both barrels. And I thought, that's great. That's great. I can see the devil now. He's trembling in his boots. No, I'll tell you what makes him tremble in his boots. The sword of the Spirit. Not your Holy Ghost shotgun. Amen. That does not exist. But something that does exist and will outlast this world in its existence. Something that's more solid than the ground that you're standing on today. The Word of the Living God. Heaven will pass away. Earth will pass away. But my Word will abide forever. It is quick. It's alive, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When Jesus comes through His Word, the Bible said figuratively, and there, the way He's going to deal with the Antichrist, the false prophet, a sword went out of His mouth. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Bible said there would be a famine, and it happened between Malachi and Matthew. They quit listening to God, God quit speaking. They quit listening and obeying, God quit speaking. There's a 400 year gap. I believe it's 400, it's somewhere in the neighborhood between Malachi and Matthew. Why was there a gap? People quit listening to God. They resisted the words of the prophets. He let them go their own way. He quit talking to them. God's not going to waste His breath on people who don't listen. Can you say amen? That's why in every letter to the churches of Asia, Jesus ended each letter with these words, He that hath an ear, a heart to obey. Say a heart to obey. We all have this, an ears on us. But a heart to obey. Let him, not everybody, but him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Believe me, the Spirit has something to say to the church. And if you're a Christian, you're part of not an organization or a denomination. You're part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we collectively are a building fitly, not stone, steeple, and stained glass, but we who are born again, born from above, we are a building, according to the scripture, fitly framed together for, here it comes, are you ready for it? For a habitation of God through the Spirit. Emmanuel, God with us. How is He still with us? He grew up. He went to the cross. He ascended. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. The Greek word is orphanos. I won't leave you orphaned like now I'm gone. You're on your own. No, I will send you another comforter. And that word comforter is paraclete. It's one in the Greek that stands in behalf of another. Paraclete. And it would actually read like this, I will send you another just like myself. And it's through His coming, Jesus can be seated at the right hand of God, and yet He can be in you and in me by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit manifesting Christ is called the Spirit of Christ. And if any man be without the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. He don't belong to him. Amen? I'm not talking about the baptism for power for service. I'm talking about when you get saved. Amen? That's why people that don't talk in tongues are going to go to heaven. Thank you for the oh me, the amen. I don't know who you're listening to. But if you had to go to heaven by talking in tongues, there's a whole lot of people not going to make it. No, you don't go to heaven because you have not truly been born from above. You haven't repented of your sin, received Christ as your Savior. The element that saves is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's the element that allows the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and that is the blood that was shed at Calvary. Can you say amen? It is finished means it's finished. Everything you need for salvation has been accomplished at the cross. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. God with us. God with them. The shout of a king is among them. But even among them, Satan's strategy to deceive them and defeat them ultimately. He said, you take a bunch of pagan women. Now this is not, I know, sister, this is not against women. But pagan women. Was it the Chaldean women? I know it was. And send them among them. And let them get all gussied up. Come on, man. Let them become sensual. Let them become so that these Jewish men will say, oh man, she's got it. Boy, has she got it. She's a real hottie. Oh, yeah. No doubt. You know, the devil doesn't have to change his strategy. It works so good, and it works over and over and over. We didn't learn from Samson. We should have. We didn't learn from David. Amen. We just didn't learn the lesson. And we keep making the same mistake. God blesses them because they are faithful to him. They are not bowing to other gods. But if they fall in love, beginning with lust, and they say, I want that woman for my wife. I want that woman. There's too many people fell in love with a personality. Had to live with a character. Can anybody amen that? And women can amen that. You know the difference between, you know, pretty, well, what was it? That great prophet Forrest Gump said, pretty is as pretty does. Amen? Now, I happen to have got both in one package. Amen? All right. I got an affirmation today. I'm doing good. Got me some doghouse insurance right here in the sermon. Get out of doghouse free card. They married them. They broke with the covenant, and they married them. And it wasn't just that they married outside the faith. When they came, they brought their gods with them. In that day, they would sew in the hem, in their garment, they would sew pouches to take their little idols with them when they left their country and they came into that Jewish home, that Hebrew home in that day. And they would make a shrine in the corner to their God, to worship their gods. And what would happen because of the blindness of these Hebrew men, because they did in fact want this woman for their wife. First lust and then love. What you lust after, you'll fall in love with. That's why you lay up your treasure in heaven and not upon the earth. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart, that's where the emotion's going to be attached to. The deepest of your emotions. You can't serve two masters. It's all about love. The deepest emotion that man can have. You will love one and not like the other? No, you will, because the love is so passionate, you will love one and hate the other. We don't like to hear that there's no middle ground and no gray area, because most people want to live in the middle ground and the gray area. There is no gray area. It's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. Are you pregnant? A little bit. No, you're pregnant, period. There is no little bit. I don't want a wife that is faithful to me most of the time. I got a real winner. I got a wonderful wife. She's faithful to me most of the time. I don't want a wife that's faithful to me most of the time. I want a wife that's faithful to me all the time. God actually doesn't want someone calling themselves His child and His servant that is faithful to Him most of the time. He wants someone that's faithful all the time. You know what these Hebrew men, they begin to bow in order to please their wife, because they had now fallen in love with them. They loved them and made them a wife. They would come in with their wife and they would still try to hold on to Jehovah while bowing to those gods that a shrine had been put in the corner of that house. And at that point, God said, I can't defend them. You want to know why there's so much defeat among Christians? Do you really want to get down to where the rubber meets the road? It's compromise, plain and simple. If God is for you, and if God is for me, come on. It's a drop the mic thing. We've had a lot of fun here today, but this is deadly serious. There are Christians being taken out and God being called unfaithful because of their own compromise. That will not let Him legally defend them, will not let them legally use their faith, because you can't serve two masters. There's no duality here. There's no middle ground here. You will love one and hate the other, or you will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon simultaneously. Churches are so desperate to get people in the building, to meet the building fund. We're willing to compromise these supreme issues of our faith. See people decimated, destroyed, deceived by the devil to meet our budget rather than challenge on Sunday morning. Brother Venable, that don't sound like the Christmas message. Oh, I know it doesn't. Because the Christmas message never changes. Not even in the time of a crisis of the last days. The Christmas message is still a little bitty baby in a manger. And it's vital to the Christmas message. But if we don't get Him out of the manger and get Him to the cross, there's no Christmas at all. And if we don't get Him off the cross and get Him in the tomb and get Him raised from the dead on the third day, there is no Christmas, because God has not accepted what He did on the cross, and His mission that began in Bethlehem failed at Calvary and could go no further and could save no one. And if there's no resurrection, we are false teachers. The dead are not raised, and we're all still in our sins and answerable and accountable to God for them. And there's no escaping the judgment to come. That's how vital all of this is. Now you can defeat them. Now you can overcome them. He will not defend them while they bow to other gods. He will not answer their call. He will not hear their cry. He will not come through. Most people will circumvent these issues and go to the authority of the believer conference and be told about their authority over the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. You have no authority over the devil if you don't bow to Jehovah. Even the pattern prayer. What does it say? Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Don't rush in with your faith to get what you need or what you want. You stop and you honor Him. Hallowed be Thy name. And then you acquiesce to Him in devotion. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Can't use your faith to get what you want, but you can use your faith to get everything He wills. If you first honor Him and seek to obey Him. We rush into the part that says, give us this day, this daily bread. He wants to provide everything that we need, but we can't be compromised and use our faith legitimately or spiritually legally. You go to build your faith to the highest heights, and I've seen too much defeat. I've seen defeat, destruction, decimation. I've seen something I should never see with the Bible and the Spirit of Truth with us, the Holy Spirit. Deception. On a scale that I never believed I would live to see. Deception. Spiritual blindness among God's people. Compromise. Among people who are supposed to represent deep devotion to Christ. And I see defeat. And what's worse, I see God blamed. Why did God let? Why did God allow? Where was God when? We don't question ourselves. This is not to condemn us. It even goes beyond conviction. God don't want you just convicted. He wants you uncompromised. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? Or Christ with Belial? Christ and the devil. Goes on in the New Testament and it says you can't eat at the table of demons and the table of God, the table of Christ simultaneously. You see, there is no middle ground. The church and Christian leadership have allowed a middle ground where many Christians fill that middle ground. One foot in the world squarely planted and another in the church not nearly as squarely planted. And when push comes to shove, and we have to shift our weight to one or the other, we shift toward the world. Because we got our free ticket to heaven. Don't talk to me about devotion, and don't talk to me about sacrificing, don't talk to me about giving up any of my worldly pleasures to serve Him. I don't need that. I'm going to heaven anyway. And the devil is just laughing. They were defeated because of compromise. Clear, plain, and simple. And compromise always brings defeat. It allows deception and brings defeat. Say that with me. It allows deception and it brings defeat. God was with them, but He could not and would not defend them. Remember the temple? When the priest's sons made themselves vile and offered strange fire in the temple. Did you know the incense that was meant to be burned? God gave them the formula for it. Each element of it. And you know what He told them? He said, this is not for you to smell. It's not for you to take to your home. It's not for your pleasure. This is exclusive. If I'm going to receive it, and you burn this day and night, so just outside the veil of the temple, so that the fragrance would come up to where God was manifesting Himself with them behind the veil. This, and you can read it, each element in a particular measure, and once you made that formula to burn, you could offer nothing else, and you couldn't use it for yourself, for anyone that would do that shall be cut off from Israel. This is for me. You know what's happened to worship today? Do you know what has happened to worship? It's for us. It's for us. It's to stimulate us. It's to give us an emotional high. It's to attract us. It's to entertain us. Real worship will make you want to get right. Thank you for the amen over here in the holy murmur. Where was that holy murmur? I'm not even going to look any further. Entertain me. Make me feel better. And get it on. And get it over with. An ex-youth leader came to our house to do, at that time he was a bug man. And he came to do the bug work, and he said, I used to be, and it was a prominent Pentecostal church. He said, I used to be the youth leader. I mean the sound director and youth leader before that, but I was in the booth doing the sound for the youth services. And he said that they were boasting that they had, I think, at that time, 200 young people coming to that service. And that's a good amount of young people. He said, but I'm in the booth looking down, adjusting the sound. And as soon as the music was over and everybody enjoying the beat was over, and someone walked forward with a Bible and began to preach or teach from the Bible and give instruction in righteousness from the Word of God. He said, out come the cell phones. All of the attention to the front is over now, and people are whispering to one another. And he said, I'm looking at this lack of honor, lack of real reverence. And he said, do they really think that they're going to walk out of that service, that they boast how many young people they have, and they're going to be followers of Jesus in this culture with this pressure if they're not challenged any more than a hand clap? Hurry and get it done, have a good time, and go out into the world. Listen, the statistics are telling the story. Christian, so-called, raised in Christian homes, in those kinds of services. We should have them, but we should do more than entertain them. And we should demand more than just come to be entertained. And he said, I gave it up. I couldn't watch it anymore. I went to the pastor. I tried to talk to him about the lack of reverence. And it was like, listen, we got 150 people coming to this service. Don't rock the boat. He didn't say it in those words, but he blew it off. And then we wonder why. Compromise brings, allows deception. And deception allows destruction. The enemy now says, you don't have a defender. You can't legally use your faith. Because you're trying to serve two masters. And you can't. So when this minister's wife told me, I believe they put a curse on us. And I thought, who are they? Who are they? What kind of power in the dark occult world is greater than our God? Where did they get authority that supersedes and overrides Christ's promise to never leave us and never forsake us? Where did that come from? Once that deception sets in, that fear begins to grip. In the Latin, you know what fear is? What fear is? It's a wolf. It don't kill a sheep by just making it bleed all over, and it grabs it by the throat. It's got fangs to cut into, but he's not waiting on it to bleed out. He's hungry. He wants to eat it soon. He grabs it by the throat. And in the Latin, the word for fear is like a wolf grabbing a sheep by the throat and strangling it to death. It doesn't take long as the larynx is crushed by the pressure of the jaws of the wolf until the sheep breathes out his last, and now the wolf can take his time and eat it. Satan goeth about as a roaring. Now, when you think of roaring, we're not talking about volume. We're not talking about loudness, although the sound is part of it. Roaring means famished, hungry, intent to find a prey and destroy it and consume it. I am told that shepherds in Jesus' time and in our time even, they would keep their sheep at night in an enclosure because there were wolves and there were lions. And you know what the lion would do to cause fear and panic? So that the sheep would leave the enclosure and try to just run away. Get out of the shepherd's watch care. Out from under the shepherd's protection. He would find which way the wind is blowing. He would go to a hill, a high place, and he would urinate so the smell of his urine would be carried by the wind to the sheepfold. And the sheep panicked knowing a lion is near instead of trusting their shepherd. By the way, the shepherd was the gate. He was the door. He became a human door. Instead of just having a gate that could be open, he slept in the gateway into the enclosure. So if a lion comes, he's going to have to go through me. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. Amen. I am the door of the sheepfold. Can you, oh my heart, if God be for you, if God, oh come on, I want to stay in the fold. I don't want to go out there rambling around with people of the world that don't know Jesus. I want to hang out with some people. I want to hang out with other sheep. Come on, that's me. Listen, number one, I'm not going to the bar to drink, and I'm not going there for fellowship, and I'm not going there to witness unless you come with me. And you. I want both you guys. I want goodness and mercy following me in there. You understand what I'm saying? You know people that are compromised. You know people that name the name of Christ. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. For in a great house there's a lot of vessels. Some honor and some to dishonor. Some of gold and silver and some of clay and stubble. But if you will flee youthful lust, if you'll grow up in God and become a real deal, authentic follower of Jesus, you'll be a vessel of honor. Sanctified and meet, that means appropriate for the master to use. Praise God. An uncompromised Christian is a powerful force. Hallelujah. For God is with that person. And God is for that person. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You can voodoo, hoodoo, any kind of do. Did I say doo-doo? I didn't mean to. Can you handle it? I can't curse them. You can't curse them. The shout of a king is among them. He's with them. You can't defeat them. Well, then what's the solution? Hire some beautiful ladies that worship false gods and let them fall in love with them. Marry them. Be not unequally yoked together. This carries into the new covenant. This is, oh, that's old covenant stuff. Well, come with me to the new covenant. Be not unequally yoked together. Believer and unbeliever. For what fellowship hath light with darkness, Christ with Belial? Eventually, they'll try duplicity with God. They'll try to worship Jehovah while bowing to those false gods too. And that's when Jehovah says, let them deliver you. Stand now, Isaiah 47, with your stargazers, your monthly prognosticators, your sorcerers. You stand with them. You're looking to them. So take your stand with them and see if they can deliver you. Because I'm not going to get involved at all. You can't have them and him. You got to make a choice. That's why idolatry was never tolerated, will not be tolerated. And let me tell you something about the message that's in the church today. And covetousness, which is idolatry. It's spiritual idolatry. If I want another airplane because I am competing with that evangelist and that preacher to see who has the biggest and who has the best, that's covetousness. God said that's idolatry. If I want something for my own aggrandizement, if I had a church of 10,000, I'm coveting that. Would I love to have 10,000 people to preach to? Absolutely. I'd be happy to walk out and preach, but I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't preach any different. That doesn't mean you're not getting the full load. It means I'd give you the same load I'm giving you this morning. But this is not to be a burden. This is to be a balance in our life. You can't serve two masters. It's a love, hate, light, darkness thing. So make up your mind. Choose you this day. If it seemed good to you to serve Baal in compromise, go serve him. Be a full-blown servant of that false god. But if the Lord is God, serve him. Because you can't play games with him. Serve him. And he didn't know what their response would be. It's not that he didn't care, but he had to make a personal stand. But as for me, my house, we're going to serve the Lord and him only, exclusively. Choose. The line is in the sand, and every preacher that's worth his salt ought to draw the line. Who? That age-old question needs to be asked to every generation. Who? You'd think everybody that's sitting in a church carrying a book called the Bible would be in agreement about this, but they are not. Not when you draw the line and you say, this is sin, this is idolatry, this is compromise. Now who is over here on the Lord's side? Because you're going to have to get rid of that to be on his side. Amen? If we don't define sin, sinners won't know they need to repent. They'll go to hell thinking they're good enough to go to heaven. I'm glad to be saved today. I'm glad when I smell the urine from that hungry lion that wants to destroy me, that I'm not going to break ranks and try to make it on my own. I'm going to, wherever the gateway to this enclosure is, and my shepherd is laying right there. And I know that lion's going to try to get at me. And he's counting on me jumping out of the fold. There are Christians that say they got enough God. They don't need you. They don't even really need me. They got themselves, and they got Jesus on their schedule. And they got Jesus when they need him. No, they don't. They're playing a deadly game. Church is not just numbers in a building and meeting budgets. Church is where we encourage one another, hold each other accountable, pray for one another, love one another. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching, exhorting one another. That means strongly encouraging each other in right living. Why do we need that strong encouragement? Because there is a rip current flowing away from God in the culture and in many churches. And I hate to say it, but in many Christians today, they're caught in the rip current. And they need something to shock them out of it. They don't need pablum on Sunday morning. They don't need entertainment. They need Jesus. And they need to love Him back enough to devote their life to follow Him. We're not just go make church members. We're to go make disciples. Go make disciples is different than getting people in a building. It's getting people that would deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Christ. That means say no to sin and yes to God. That cross is not the persecution that comes because you're following Him. That cross is when we crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. Can you say amen? Denying self is putting self on the cross. And we take up our cross by crucifying the flesh. And if you don't crucify the flesh, guess who's in charge? Your flesh. And what will the devil appeal to? Whoever's in charge. Because they're going to make the decision to sin or not. And he knows it. I have a shepherd king. He said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. They go out and come in by me. I lead them out. And I take care of them while they're grazing. And I lead them in and protect them from the wolf and the lion and the bear. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Praise God. He said, literally, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In other words, he's going to have to kill me to hurt you. But he can hurt you if you're not in the fold. So when you get out of church today, and when you celebrate Christmas Day, and when you go into the new year as a Christian, as a child of God, we may need a reset of how we're going to live our life, what we're going to allow, what we're going to say no to. And we have to be cautioned about compromise. Because compromise allows for deception, and deception allows for destruction. And you couldn't, when Israel's right with God, listen, he said, in Isaiah 54, I believe it is. Has anybody got Isaiah 54? You know, I can quote it, but I might miss part of it. Start with, O thou, Isaiah 54, somewhere around 10th verse on down, where it says, O thou, tossed with tempest and not comforted. You're caught in a storm and there's no one to help you. O thou, is that Isaiah 54? 11, verse 11? Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to wipe this off so you can read it. Listen, it'll open a blind eye. Lord knows what it might do today. Read that all the way down to the bottom, if you would.
O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires, and I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth the instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment shalt thou condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. They're right with God. They're right with God. He said they're going to come against you. You can count on it, but not because I sent them. And when they do, they're going to fail. I created, they're coming as warriors. They have mighty weapons of destruction, but they're going to fail because I created the man who made the weapon, the smith who fashioned the sword and the spear and the shield in the fire. I created him, and I created the waster who wields the weapon intent on destruction. I created him too. Therefore, no weapon can prosper because I am overriding. I am overruling. I am in control. They will try to hurt you, but they will not be able to touch you. It's time we heard the sound of joy from God's people. It's time we heard the sound of victory from God's people. It's time God's people didn't just wear the name, hallelujah, but they were true followers of Jesus, so he could keep us from the enemy. Did I not cast him down? Did I not cast all of his followers down? Yea, no weapon, even his accusations, yea, saith God, shall not prevail against you, my children. Hadamarosha, Shalaba, have you not read where it is written, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony, and their devotion to me. They love not their life, even unto the death, saith God. This is not the shallow, compromising, phony devotion that we see in many realms of Christianity today. Thousands of churches are leaving the Methodist because of the compromise. I applaud them. Oh, Brother Venable, won't you want to be a peacemaker? No, no, no. I applaud them. They're either going to have to compromise with their leadership, or they're going to have to pull out of that, come out from among them. And that includes compromised denominations and organizations and compromised preachers and so-called prophets. Come out from among them. And be you separate, saith the Lord. It's your victory, it's your soul, it's your life. Don't let somebody else cause you to lose that victory that God has promised. Hallelujah. 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 He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. What made them, after the resurrection, when he told them this, what took cowards cowering in a room and made them warriors and conquerors? What changed? It was just the fact that he's alive? No, it's the fact that he said, because I'm alive, you go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, remember this, you're going to hit opposition, persecution. Some of you, they're going to kill for the sake of the gospel. But lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Praise God, in the back of that ambulance, he was with me, Emmanuel. Hallelujah. God is with us today. God is for us today. And ain't no lion ever defeated my shepherd. Can you say amen? I said, I know I'm not using aren't. Ain't is finally in the dictionary because we just wouldn't quit saying it. I believe in a good dictionary, you'll find ain't. So if it's in the dictionary, I'm still Merriam-Webster. Accurate. Ain't no lion can defeat my shepherd. Ain't no wolf can defeat my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil. Why? Why? Because I've got the Holy Ghost. No, because I've got Jesus. Can you say amen? I've got Jehovah with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff. That's what gives me comfort in the midst of all of these predators intent on my destruction. Their weapons won't prosper because his weapons are greater. Now, the shepherd's staff, you've got to cast sheep. He hooks it and he pulls it back upon its feet. If it can't walk, it's too weak. He throws it over his shoulders, but he never leaves it. Amen. He never leaves it. He never leaves it. And if a wolf or a lion comes close to the sheep as he's taking them out and taking them in, there's something called a rod. I didn't know what that was, that rod. I found out what it was from shepherds in the Middle East. It was a piece of hard wood about 48 inches long. It was like a club, and the shepherd knew how to use it. And he said, I don't even have to encounter that wolf. All I have to do is take that rod and throw it, and it'll hit him so hard that he'll think twice, because he always carried a spare. Come on, he's like John Wayne. He carried two guns. Amen. He always carried a spare. If he gets near, I'm going to contest him. The sheep don't have to defend themselves. The shepherd takes care of that. Thy rod and staff comfort me. Hallelujah. Cause I'm going through the valley of the shadow every day down in this old world. But I've got a shepherd king that's never lost a sheep that's truly his. Let me tell you something. A lot of people are going to go to hell sitting in churches according to the word of God. But not his sheep. Those my father gave me. Those my father gave me, not those that got a free ticket to heaven so they could live in sin and have some kind of false security, but those my father gave me, convicted me by the Holy Spirit, showed me how lost I was and how I needed a Savior. Those my father gave me, no man shall ever pluck them out of my hand. For the Father that gave them me, he's greater than every force, every power of hell. Can you say amen? Hadabarosha. I'm glad to be a Christian today. I'm glad to be saved today. You say, Brother Venable, you're too old to be attracted to some sins now. Look at you. You're just too old to care about those things. Oh, dear, 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 dear friend. If he can't get me on what he used to get me on, he's got a whole lot of other devices to try to get me to compromise. All he has to do is have you jump on me and me retaliate to you and walk in unforgiveness and hold a grudge. There's all kind of weapons that I have to deal with. But I never deal with them alone. By the help and grace of God who is with me and who is for me. Praise God. Will you stand to your feet? Now, I preach the edited version of this. If we're ever in a building of our own, I'll preach the full version. And we'll have what do they do in the middle of a movie that's 3 hours long? Intermission. We'll have, say, anybody want to go to the bathroom? Yeah. You promise you'll come back? Yes. Okay. You can go. No. I believe we've done justice to what he wanted us to hear today. Praise the Lord. This is not your average. Well, it is Emmanuel. God with us. Not just Christmas, but every single day. God for us. Every single day. Jesus taking care, watch care over you and over me. Brother Taylor, the 22nd, has a surgical procedure, and we prayed for victory, and that it's going to be, everything will be God taking care of this. So, Father, as we move toward this date for this procedure, this will be a Christmas where he gets past something that the devil will certainly trouble him with, but he's going to be past it. So when he goes into this new year coming, he won't have anything to look back and have pending. It'll be settled. It'll be over. It'll be done. And he'll go forward, and we'll go forward hand in hand with you, leading us forward, leading us out, and keeping us when you lead us back in the door of the sheepfold. In Jesus' holy name, we thank you for that victory right now, and we praise you for it in Jesus' holy name.